May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The readings for Maundy Thursday take us to the Lord Jesus and the disciples on the evening before he was betrayed, condemned, and killed. And Jesus knows what is coming, so in these final hours he prepares the disciples for what lies ahead. But Jesus does not just teach the disciples. He doesn't just offer verbal instruction. He also performs actions. He does concrete, physical things to enable the disciples to remember him and to live in the light of what he means for them. And our readings describe two different actions performed by Jesus in these last hours with the disciples. John's Gospel tells of how Jesus washed their feet. Rather than just telling them in abstract theoretical terms that the fundamental principle of their life together as his followers is to love one another, Jesus does something extraordinary that forever imprints this truth on their hearts and imaginations. He, their Lord and Master, washes their dirty feet. They will never forget the sight of Jesus bowed down in front of them. They will never forget the touch of his hands on their feet. They will always remember this enacted expression of loving service, the love of Jesus for them as the example to follow in loving one another. And our very short reading from 1 Corinthians describes the other memorable action performed by Jesus on that last evening with the disciples. When the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Of course, we hear these words in nearly the same form every time we celebrate the Eucharist. But what is Jesus doing and saying in these actions and in these words that are so very familiar to us? We must remember that the Last Supper was a Passover meal. Passover was one of the great festivals the Jews had celebrated for centuries before Jesus, and of course they still do. Passover recalls the event that really established the children of Abraham as the people of Israel, when God brought them out of slavery in Egypt and they began the long journey to the promised land where they would live as God's redeemed holy people. And our first reading from the book of Exodus gives God's instructions for Passover, which involved slaughtering, roasting, and eating unblemished lambs and putting some of their blood on the doorposts and lintel of each Israelite house. Now, it was not a random coincidence that Jesus died at Passover. Jesus was well aware of the murderous opposition to him, and he knew that going to Jerusalem would bring this to a head. Jesus didn't die by accident. He laid his life down, and he chose when to do so. Jesus chose to die at Passover, when many thousands of pilgrims would have come to Jerusalem, and everyone was preoccupied with this commemoration of how God brought his people out of the oppression of Egypt and into a new covenant relationship with him. As the Jewish people of that day thought and hoped and wondered and prayed about how the God of Passover and of Exodus would act in the present, would act today in faithfulness to his covenant love for his people in the past, Jesus deliberately came to Jerusalem at Passover to complete his mission by laying down his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom for many. So, in his last hours with his disciples on this Passover supper evening, how does Jesus prepare them for the time ahead when he will no longer be physically present with them? Well, one thing that Jesus doesn't do is to say, by the way, fellows, I am the true Passover lamb. Got that? Please minute that to make sure this important theological truth is securely recorded for posterity. No, the truth about who Jesus is and what he does comes out here and throughout the gospel story gradually, indirectly, often through actions rather than through explicit verbal statements of that kind. I mean, more widely, we may wonder why Jesus does not go around saying, "Hello, everyone. I'm the Messiah. I'm the second person of the Holy Trinity. Oh, yes, and I'm also the true Passover lamb." But that is just not how the truth of God made flesh in Jesus emerges. It's not how revelation works with the God of our Father, the God and Father of our Jesus Christ, and through the great mystery of the Incarnation. Bearing that in mind, then, what does Jesus do at this Passover supper to prepare his disciples for the time ahead? Well, just as the Passover instructions aimed at helping Jews down the generations to remember what God had done for them, so Jesus is concerned at this Passover meal to give his people a way to remember him. Twice he says, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember me." He knows how forgetful we are. Not just in the trivial sense of forgetting where I put the keys, which seems to happen to me at least 4 or 5 times every day nowadays. Not just in that sense, but in the deeper sense of not remembering and living by the most important truths that should shape our lives. The truths of the relationships of covenant love and faithfulness in which we stand with God and with one another. Because we constantly forget these life-giving truths, just as the people of Israel constantly forgot who their God truly was and what God had done for them and drifted away from God. In the same way, we forget who God is and who we truly are in the light of God. And we foolishly, forgetfully drift away. But Jesus wants us to remember who he is and what he has done and who we are in relationship to him. So how does Jesus help us to remember? Well, as I've been making clear, not by giving us a theological lecture. There's plenty of other people who've been very keen to do that for the last 2,000 years. No, instead, he gives us bread and wine. Bread and wine were also part of the Passover meal. And Jesus takes bread and he breaks it and he gives it to the disciples and says, "This is my body. Do this to remember me." He takes a cup of wine and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this. Do this in remembrance of me, to remember me." Jesus doesn't here tell his disciples to remember him by memorizing his words. but by eating bread and drinking wine together in remembrance of him. Paul goes on to add that when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So Jesus himself instituted this simple domestic action of eating and drinking so that we could constantly remember and be drawn back to him and to his cross. And through us, the cross would be proclaimed, made more widely known in the world. So as we come to the breaking of the bread this evening, let's be grateful that Jesus did not just use words to communicate the meaning of the cross to his disciples, but gave them and gave us bread and wine. We are not disembodied spirits living only through our minds. We express ourselves and we come to know each other through our bodies. And in the person, the human being, Jesus Christ, God has addressed his supreme word to us in the form of flesh and blood, a human body. So it's no surprise that the God we know through the incarnation, the flesh and blood physical reality of Jesus, also gives us this physical sacramental means of the Eucharistic bread and wine to remember Jesus and remain connected to him and the meaning of the cross. One final vital point. When Jesus told us to remember him and his dying for us by eating bread and drinking wine, he gave us a sacrament that certainly speaks to us and nourishes us as individuals, one by one. But it only does so as we share in the life of a community. We can pray on our own. We can read the Bible on our own. We cannot do communion on our own. We cannot do Eucharist on our own. Just before we receive the sacrament, Helen will say to us, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. And what is our response? Again, quoting Paul's words to the Corinthians, though we are many, we are one body because we all share in the one bread. As Jesus approached the cross, he looked beyond the suffering and shame to the great goal, the great purpose for which he was laying his life down. He was bringing into being a people reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. We call this people the church. And the church, the body of Christ, is a community in which everyone, the whole world, is welcome because Christ died and rose again to reconcile all people to God and to one another. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, and especially this Maundy Thursday evening, as we remember the Last Supper and the cross, the Lord gives us bread and wine to remember him and his dying for us and to bind us together in the body of Christ, the community that exists to make his love known to the whole world. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Amen.